This regular city council meeting for Tuesday, May 26, 2015 will now come to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Irby?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Mayor Johnson?
Here.
There's a quorum.
All right. First item is our Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Hansen, will you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the first item is, next item is the approval of the agenda, which includes the approval of the consent agenda and minutes. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second. We have a second?
Second.
Made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. The introduction ordinance number 15-015, repealing Palmer Municipal Code, Chapter 5.21, massage therapist licensing, as noted in IM 15-031. Action memorandum 15-054 to approve a community council grant in the amount of $485 to the Palmer High School for a fall football poster. Action memorandum 15-055, approve a community council grant in the amount of $250 to Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. And the minutes of previous meetings, May 12, 2015, regular meeting. Madam Clerk, would you please call a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, we approve the consent agenda, and that brings us to the reports. Mr. Manager.
Mayor and Council, there's a manager's report in the packet that I can answer questions. But in addition to that, there's been several significant changes over the last 4 days. So these are some updates to addition to that. First one is that with Granite, they have confirmed that they're still agreeable to the amendment. They are, their attorneys have contacted Department of Transportation. They're working on the time frames because we put some requirements about meeting DOT permits for the road in order to go forward. And then they also...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's on that discussion. I appreciate just hitting that briefly, is on the agenda later.
Okay.
And so I just want to make sure that we follow up
and we'll,
that later.
Then we'll cover the rest. But they've also said that they would meet with the city attorney to work on the amendment. Separate from that, Fred Meyer has notified the community development and Ms. Garley that they anticipate filing their building permits shortly. They'll be doing the site work this year, and they hope to begin operating 2016. Why that's significant is that even though we've gone through the large retail permitting process, it's taken a while, so there was at least a little concern that maybe they were reevaluating based on what's going on in our state. But so that's very positive for us, particularly for next year. The third change is that the FAA notified us that we need to get moving on completing an updated appraisal for the Nutrition Center in order to cement our claim of using legal fees in order to purchase it to be used as part of the purchase for the Nutrition Center. If you remember, almost 5 years ago, it indicated that they would consider using legal fees. Well, they're now starting to get to a timing process. There's no such thing as a statute of limitations, but they do have a time where the federal government says you get farther out and these old legal fees are just that. So we now have an agreement for an appraisal. So we'll work kind of very quickly to complete that work by the end or the beginning of the federal fiscal year, which is in October. The other is that last week, Ms. Garley and I met with the developer of the property owned by Bill Engelson. So this is the map-made property and the dairy that had burned down. And so we have seen the plans. They're not ready to disclose what it is, but they are. We asked for a pre-application meeting, and they are appear to be in compliance with all of our zoning code. The good news is they wish to preserve the tower. They will provide very significant green space and all of their parking on site, and they believe they have sufficient funding. And they listen to ideas from Ms. Garley about design, and particularly of how it would be incompatible or in agreement with the colonial style design for that area. So that's good news. They're talking about being up and running within a year. So if they're like Fred Meyer, we should see something very soon on that. We've already talked a little bit about the EPA notice and the two other items. One is that the audit is in, and Ms. Green can talk about that, but there is a significant surplus over what we believed that we had put into the budget for this year. And so she can cover a little bit, and that's coming to you shortly. The last one is that at the last meeting, there was a question about the shared loan or about the grant and about money that's left on the table. And Mayor, if we can, I'd like to just to have that question answered by Esther Green, Finance Director, the one regarding the grant money from the Sherrod project that had come from council last week.
Ms. Green, would you please come forward?
Mayor and Council, I really would prefer Director Healy to come up and talk about that. We had a meeting about that this afternoon, so if I could ask him to come up. There was a surplus, and I think I sent out a memo to that effect, and I'll let Director Healy talk about the balance and why we had a balance and what happened.
Okay. I guess this question came up. We had the grant terminated, and we had a balance. I forget the exact number. It was
$69,000.
And so we had to essentially turn that back, or it was not available to us. This is, in this particular case, the original grant started out at, I think, $4.2 million or something. And so the amount we had left unspent, we spent most of it. In terms of the timing, if DEC said, okay, we want this thing, this grant closed out as of, what, May 1st?
May 1st.
And so we put all the expenditures we could find that were eligible for that grant and paid for those, but we still had that balance left over. Now, I guess my point was in terms of other grants, there's been a similar situation. Well, there's a timing element here, for example, where if we'd had this particular grant open for two more months, for example, we could have charged Sherrod Phase 3 charges to it. We've done that for the design and engineering for the project. So it's kind of a timing thing. We just didn't have any expenses to charge to it. Other grants in the past, this is not unusual. There was one grant that was, all of these grants from DEC have timing elements where they expire after so many years. We had one grant where we had 600 some thousand that we didn't need to spend because we had adequate funding for the, this was the Southwest Extension water main extension in the water tank. So we didn't have a match for that 600 some thousand, and we didn't need the money for the project, and so that went back. So these don't always come down to the last dollar, is my point. So that is a quick summary of this. Now, there was also a question of, you know, is it possible for remaining grant funds to be, when it expires for one project, whether or not we can go back to DEC and have it reappropriated. That in the fairly recent past was an option, but given the kind of economic climate in the state right now, the legislature has taken for monies that expire, like the $69,000, that goes back into the state treasury, and DEC has no control over where that money goes. A lot of this money is just not under their control anymore. It used to be where if you had money left over from one, say, water project, and you had another water project, the DEC could just move it over there, but that's not the case anymore. So.
Okay. Your Honor, can I ask a question?
Councilmember Breeze.
Thank you. Have they ever been known to extend the deadline, especially like this one where, you know, we know within a couple months we could have spent that? Was that approached or?
I think we tried and they didn't want to do that.
Okay.
Because we were successful in extending another grant for the Southwest Extension that, and that had, I think, over $1 million left in it, but its termination date was coming up, and they did extend that, I think, a whole other year because we're still doing the project. So. Okay.
Mr. Rander. Mayor, the one other part of this that, in this case, it was fortuitous that the next phase where you would normally like, oh, let's try to move it into that phase with the money that we have grants already and secured, we're going to end up not having to need all of the money we had. So in real terms, we haven't lost anything because we have enough money in the next phase to cover what this might have gone on to pay in the next phase. That doesn't happen all the time, but it is happening in, to complete out this project at Sharon.
And, yeah, just to supplement that, we have currently for Sherrod Phase 3, we have a $3 million grant plus $1.287 million loan for a total of $4.2 in funding for this project available. But the project itself is probably not going to go over about $2.8 million. So, yes, we will have to turn some of that money back, but we're accomplishing what we set out to do with that money. We're really not losing anything as far as that goes. Thanks.
Anything else, Mr. Manager? Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a reminder of the special meeting on June 9th, which is the presentation of the audit, and the auditor will be there here to present it, and council then has the opportunity to accept it. That's really all I have this evening. Thank you.
Very good, Your Honor. Oh, excuse me.
Yes. Clerk, a question, please.
Certainly.
I think at the last meeting you had mentioned that you had received a petition, referendum petition. Can you bring us up to date on that, please?
The attorney and I are finishing our review, and we'll have response to the petitioners within probably tomorrow or the next day.
I think so we'll know.
Yes,
what's going on.
Yes, great. We will. Thank you.
All right, and I guess, as everyone knows, yesterday was Memorial Day, and there was quite a number of people that was at the wall out at the, I think Councilman Combs was there. Anyway, Palmer was represented I said a few words there, and there was a good turnout. We also did the acceptance of the picnic tables for at the First Friday Fling on this last Friday. The Rotary Club has repurposed and helped the city install a number of picnic tables along the railroad green space and donated that to the city of Palmer. So they presented that at the last, or at the Red Friday Fling last week. And then I wasn't at the Farmland Palooza because I had a wedding that day. So that's my report, I guess. I had a great time being the mother of the bride. So, but I know I was well represented. It was at the Farmland event. So with that, I guess that's the end of the mayor's report. Mr. Attorney.
Nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
Very good. This brings us now to audience participation, a time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes. 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Oh, I said audience participation, anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Is audience participation is now open.
Thank you. Okay, I'm Judy Foster, and I'm here as treasurer of the Valley Quilters Guild. I'd like to address the impact on the Guild of the proposed depot expansion project that's presented in the Action Memorandum 15-053, and to urge the City Council to adopt an option that has the least adverse impact on the Guild. We appreciate having worked with the Council for many years and for being renters of the depot for a number of years, actually longer than any of us can remember, so can't quote how many. I have 6 points that I'd like to make. First of all, the depot plan shows that the purpose appears to be to clear the meeting room that's in the depot, but the information packet does not contain any reason to change the existing plan. There would be no increased revenue that we can see from clearing out the meeting room. It's not rented out separately. There are no health or safety issues that we know of, and there's no information presented regarding complaints from the existing users. We understand that there is money that's been budgeted at about $90,000 in taxpayer dollars plus a grant for purposes, but we can't find where the purpose is addressed. Second point, the Guild uses the items presently in the main room, the large stage, the tables, and the chairs. When we have meetings twice a month, our members transport our own items from the storage room out to the main room. The present arrangement allows us for ease of use in the main room and minimizes wear and tear on hauling things back and forth. Point three, the Guild uses the meeting room as is for committee meetings. The proposed modification plans, except the maintaining the status quo, would clear all the tables and chairs out of the meeting room, leaving it bare, and making users move things back into that little meeting room. So we have trouble reconciling clearing out the furnishings of a meeting room, which seems to be at adverse for the intended use of the room for meetings. That's the small meeting room in the back. Point four, the Guild's preference is to maintain the status quo. Our storage room in the same building is very important to us, and it's vital to our nonprofit purposes of community service and education. We appreciate the support that the city has given us for many years, and we would like to offer to pay for use of the storage room that we have not been paying for. Our suggestion is $100 a month in addition to our annual depot rent. We feel strongly enough about maintaining the storage room as is. If it is necessary to clear the meeting room, then we favor study one with the following modifications. In the packet, they're labeled, and study one is the one I'm addressing. In the main room, keep the main stage, the stacking chairs, and the rectangle tables stored as they are right now. They're used the most. Use the new outside storage area that's presented in study one for the items that are presently in the meeting room. And my last point is, if this is a use-it or a lose-it situation with a budget of dollars that I have no knowledge of, our suggestion is to survey the depot users to see what improvements they would like to have. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this evening. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. My name is Ann Davis. I'm secretary for the Valley Quilters Guild. We also have several other members here as well. Raise your hands. The Valley Quilters Guild was formed in 1985 and currently has approximately 180 members, all of which are volunteers. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization with the purpose of educating quilters and serving our community. We've enjoyed the use of the depot for many years. The central location, physical accessibility, ample parking, safe atmosphere, and the ability to store our supplies for our meetings and projects at the depot are paramount to Valley Quilters Guild continued success and resulting positive impact on the community. We are concerned about the impact some of the options of the proposed depot expansion project will have on the Guild. Each year, we make and donate over 200 quilts to community service organizations, such as Palmer Pioneer and Veterans Home, the Palmer Senior Citizen Center, Quilts of Valor, Alaska State Troopers, Palmer Santa Cop and Heroes Program, and the Red Cross. We display quilts as a community service at the Palmer DMV and the Sutton Library. Valley Quilters Guild has a booth each year at the Alaska State Fair, and funds raised from items we make and sell at the fair are used to buy supplies for the quilts we donate to the community. We also sponsor five $50 Judge's Choice Awards as part of our support for the Alaska State Fair. We provide grants, both monetary and materials, to teachers both locally and statewide, totaling about $525 for teaching children about fiber arts. Last fall, the City of Palmer asked the Valley Quilters Guild to design and create a quilt, which was displayed during Colony Christmas and will be given to Palmer's sister city of Saroma, Japan. The quilt was applique scenes from the Palmer area. We meet at the Palmer Depot twice a month. On Thursday, many of the members use the depot all day, cutting fabric and preparing quilts and kits for members to take home and complete, which we call service quilts. We hold our regular meetings in that evening. One Saturday each month, we meet to work on service quilts, hold classes, and share ideas and projects with each other. These gatherings are all open to the public and have the combined potential to bring over 1,000 people to downtown Palmer over the course of a year. We eat at local restaurants, buy gas, groceries, and other supplies from local stores, and support other small businesses in the Palmer area. The Guild also uses local businesses for photocopying, preparing our taxes, etc. We appreciate the support the Palmer City Council has given us for many years and hope we can continue to depend on that support for many years to come. Thank you for your attention. We would welcome any questions you might have, and we'd like you to invite you to attend one of our meetings. The next one is June 4th. Any questions? Thank you.
Your Honor, you might ask them to sign in. I don't think any of the lady people have signed in. Are you signed in? Oh, good.
All right. Very good. Please sign in and state your name for the record.
Just to say thank you for all of your support over many, many years. I'm Molly Boyer from the Valley.
Push a button. Okay. Thank you again for your support over the many years of the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. And I want to work with you into the future to make Palmer the leading municipality in the Mat-Su Borough for recycling. And I think you already are there, but thanks for your support. And if you'd like to see our cute little new flyer, I'll leave some for you. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional, the audience participation is now closed. Thank you. Our next item, we have one public hearing tonight for resolution number 15-001C, amending the City of Palmer 2015 budget, approving an appropriation of $67,000 from the Water and Sewer Utility Fund and unrestricted net position to pay for design and construction administration and construction of a repair to the Southwest Utility Extension Wastewater Main, as noted in item 15-029. This is public hearing number 2 of 2. This public hearing is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to resolution number 15-001C, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, public hearing on resolution number 15-001C is now closed. Is there a motion to adopt?
Also move, Your Honor, resolution number 15-001C.
Right. Second.
Made and seconded. Does anyone wish to have discussion or staff report? All right, Madam Clerk, would you please call for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Aye.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeBries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, motion passed unanimously for resolution number 15-001C. Does anyone have any objection if we move item number 5, which is the option for storage improvements from the depot, to item 1 of our action memorandum? Any objection? Okay, let's go ahead and move this up so we have a lot of people here for that discussion. So item number 5 will become item number 1 under the action memorandum. Is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-053, authorize an option for storage improvements of the Palmer Community Center, Railroad Depot?
Motion. So moved.
And do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Discussion?
Just procedurally, main motion was made to authorize an option, but you'll need to make at some point a primary amendment designating which option. Just a heads up. Thanks.
Mr. Manager, I would like to get a staff report on where we're at and kind of the origin of the... I guess it's three options here. Let's see.
Mayor, on this case, can I ask Mr. Healy to come forward and describe? We can answer questions on all the options.
Yes,
guess we have 1, 2, 3, 4 options. And then 5, which is the status quo, right? Okay. Mr. Healy.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this issue is back before us. As you know, there was a $90,000 appropriation made, I think, 2 years ago, with the idea of building an addition on the depot for storage. At the time, that plan involved building on the north side of the building. The city also received a $200,000 grant from the state, I think last year, for various improvements to the depot. That list of items includes new flooring in the main hall, improvements to some of the doors and frames are getting kind of battered. We'll replace some of those, maybe some acoustical improvements, mechanical, electrical improvements, new boiler, electrical upgrades, that kind of thing. In addition to that state grant for the depot, we also got state grants for other city facilities, public safety building for one. And the idea is, well, we've had Wolf Architecture drawing up preliminary plans for these various building improvement projects. The plan is to bid this all as one project, one contractor. And so what we need to do, we're fairly clear on what's necessary in the other buildings, but because this issue is, in terms of the depot, has some history to it and with the council, we thought it necessary to get some direction from the council in terms of how we should proceed on the so-called depot expansion portion of this issue. So what Wolf Architecture has done, and these are attached in your packet, it's basically the first drawing is the existing conditions plan. Now I will say that and perhaps Community Development Director Garley can weigh in on this as well because her department deals with this from an operational point of view. But from my experience with this is that the existing conditions work pretty well. There aren't any major conflicts in terms of what's stored where. The meeting room, for example, where you store the round tables and chairs in there, some of the extra ones. That's also where the Arts Council stuff is. That room can still be used for functions associated with renting the facility. But in terms of the stage that's out in the main hall, that is rarely moved, if ever. Renters have reconfigured it to decorate for events, there has been no real need to store that anywhere else. So just as a comment on the existing condition is, in my opinion, it works pretty well. Okay, so that is the existing situation. So there are then two options, study one and study two. If we need to create more storage space, and that's a question that needs to be answered here, I think, these study one and study two involve essentially building an addition on the east side of the building under that building eave. One option is for a storage area of 232 feet. The other one is for 300 some square feet. And then there is a third option, which does not build anything outside, keeps the table and chair storage pretty much in the main hall as it is, as these other options do. but then utilizes what's currently used by the Quilt Guild, converts that into a storage building with or a storage room with the new doors installed, so you can access that from the corridor. So that's a basic summary of the options there. I think in this, also attached in the packet is a memo that I wrote at the manager's direction in terms of just giving some background on the 2003 depot expansion, because there was some question there about utility conflicts and that kind of thing. So that option was not included in this current go-around because it was seen that the conflict with the gas main is a fairly significant one, and it just didn't seem to make sense to bring that option forward. So the staff doesn't necessarily have any recommendation on this. I think it's there are some factors involved here, and looking at this storage project, focusing on that $90,000 that is still in the budget. You have that money available to do this. The $200,000 is an additional grant for other things. The staff doesn't have any recommendation because it's I don't think there's an overriding need necessarily to build new storage. However, looking at the future of the building, if you're looking at the use of the building changing or increasing or the need for other facilities there, then that would create another need. So I open it up for questions here.
Thank you. Mr. Healy, where's the risers being stored currently?
The risers, I believe, refer to those platforms that the Arts Council, that they're currently being stored in the what we call the meeting room. If you look on the on the existing conditions plan, the first plan. If you look in the meeting room there, it says Arts Council 4x8 platform. It's a stack. They're 4 wide, 8 long, by about 5 high. And that's where it's stored, right in the meeting room. There. This is kind of a mix and match project. I mean, first... As you can see, there is the ability within the building to store what we need to store at this point. If we wanted to move the round tables and stacked chairs out of the meeting room, that will create a need for more space, but it's not a lot of space.
Councilor Hanson.
Tom, so under study one and study two, you don't have the platforms anywhere. I'm assuming they are going to stay where they were under the existing conditions?
Under study one and study two, my assumption is that, they don't show on here, but my assumption is they would go in those, in that addition. The platform or the risers.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so you move them in there. Okay. My other question is you have two storage areas around the meeting room. What occupies the storage room that's, on the southeast wall?
That is some. The city uses that for storage for cleaning equipment. There's janitorial supplies. There's a shelf in there with additional supplies and that kind of thing.
Councilor Dries.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't see any cost estimates in here, whether the $90,000 is going to be adequate or not, or at what point will we, I guess I'd sort of like to have some of those to weigh in at this time also. Do we have anything, sir?
Wolf Architecture provided some rough estimates for a couple of concepts that didn't exactly equate to these options, and so I was reluctant to put those out here. But it basically boils down to obviously existing conditions. There's really zero cost. There is no cost associated with that. For study one and study two, those are the adding an addition to the building is where you see the cost. We have to do foundation work, et cetera. So the cost for study one and study two, I don't want to throw a figure out there, but it's in the tens of thousands. Whether it's 30, I don't know, as an order of magnitude, I'd say between 30 and 50,000, somewhere like this. I can get these numbers more closely estimated if you like, but it's significant cost. It's not a small amount of money. And for option or study three, there would be some cost there, not significant. There would be some installing doors. That would probably be in the, I don't know, 6 to 10,000 range. So.
Does this, on this plan, does it show the windows? I'm trying to, study two would enclose all the windows on, no, I guess it all, there'd still be one window on that east side. Study one has, it just takes one window and turns it into a door, right? And that's still unheated, right? Or, well, we would determine
the,
that, I guess.
The additions?
Mm-hmm.
The additions would be unheated, yes. Yeah, and the windows are shown on the existing conditions plan. Study one would eliminate one of the exterior windows. Study two would eliminate two windows.
Councilor Reese. Thank you, Your Honor. Study two has a lot more storage areas, and from looking at this, as you said, on the existing, we have the Arts Council and we also have the Quilters Guild that store things, I guess, 24/7 then. Do you know, or maybe if Sandra knows, do we have other organizations that are requesting that meet there frequently that they would like to store things there? So do we need the additional? And I see Sandra arising, so she maybe has the answer for that. Thank you.
And I had a question. Now, on the platforms, wasn't there, I don't know if there's an actual agreement or just a, does the stage belong to the city or does that belong to the Arts Council? Because my thought, I had understood maybe that.
Well, the stage in the main room belongs to the city.
Okay.
The risers or platform belong to the Arts Council.
Okay.
In answer to your question on storage, when we took the depot over about 5 years ago, the manager's office, which is now called the meeting room, was used sort of for casual storage. There was a Christmas tree that was there, had been there for years. There were boxes of things that were stored. And one of the things that we've done in the last 5 years is everything that did not need to be there has been removed. Our annual renters have each been assigned a closet space. And one of the groups that meets several times a year there has coffee urns and a lectern, and they have their own closet where they can keep that and lock that down. And so really and truly, from being a very congested and kind of jumble of things, the manager's office now has a very big open space. It has a place in one corner where the round tables and chairs, extra chairs, are stored, and then along one of the inner walls is where the platform is stacked. But since we have cleared out the boxes and assigned storage to the other users, everybody has used the manager's office, brides, and people that use it for small meeting spaces. I've not had any complaints about their feeling like those things are inappropriate in that room. Again, you know, it's up to the city council where you want to go with this storage space. But initially, the users of the building, both the ones that rented for a short period of time and those that rented for, you know, several times a year, they have not had a problem with the fact that we store the rectangular tables in that little alcove in the main meeting room. I've not had anybody complain about our stage. And if you go online to the website and you look at it, we have photographs up of many, many weddings and movies, and the Girl Scouts do their plays there, and they either incorporate that stage or they move it to the side and have used that space. So storage for the things that are normal users, but they have not complained.
Councilmember.
I seem to remember that the Arts Council thought that the stage was inadequate and that they were wanting a larger stage so that they could put on performances, and that the risers weren't, like I said, weren't adequate. And there wasn't enough storage space to store a larger stage.
I don't have any of that history. I know that I've had many meetings with Howard Best in the last 3 years, and that hasn't been anything that he has brought up as an issue. I don't know if they've kind of moved on with the concept of creating their own. I know they're looking for a place to put their own building and their own performing theater together. And so, again, that has not been something that has been brought up to me, and it may be something that Tom will remember from years past, but not something that I currently am aware of.
Well, I recall the Arts Council had ideas for the depot, and I think there was a play that was put on there. They came to the council, and they needed the depot for like 3 weeks. There was a lot of discussion in this room about this. I mean, they had a stage, and they had raised seating, and they wanted to put on regular plays and that sort of thing. There was that discussion, I recall. But other than that, I don't remember any other concern or need of the Arts Council. Yeah.
Well, I agree with Sandra. I mean, it was before they had their, you know, the building that they have now, and they are looking for another place. So I don't think it's an issue. I just, as part of the history. It's like the back part that is no longer feasible because of the gas line. That was brought about because they wanted it to be more like the historical version of the depot. There used to be a door on that back wall, and so there was an interest in trying to recoup that old historical feel for the building.
It is always good to hear from the Quilters Guild. They always do come with points and tie things up. Alternative plans, in my mind, are non-starters. The ones that modify the exterior where previous doors did not exist, that kind of turns it off from my standpoint. My intent was not to modify the depot into something that we did not recognize. My intent when I brought this project to council was to better utilize the depot and the spaces that we have haphazardly storing things. Is cumbersome in my opinion, and this comes from helping set up events at the depot. I have been part of groups who have had to push that stage all the way across to the other area after having to have moved the tables from the small open storage area into the meeting room area, so then we could then put the stage in that location. It was very difficult and a pain. The intent was to have a single storage area for the stage, the risers, the tables, and the chairs in one centralized location to better then open the meeting area and the storage that is in those other areas for everybody to utilize. The only time I'd like to address a point in Tom's memo, at the very end, he brings up a point that Brad had made in our previous meetings about how the stage would be in the way of the doors, but the intent of the storage was to actually have a place for the stage. The only time that the stage would be coming out or is when it would be utilized, that you would open the doors and pull the stage out. At that point, you would have access to be able to move everything else that you need to come out before you would shut the doors. And then you would open the doors again to put the stage back in. So the idea that it would be blocking the doors from accessing anything else that is inside of there is a moot point. It's counterproductive to continue to bring this argument up when there is no reason for it. What I haven't seen was what is the cost to take care of the first plan that we had agreed upon. Was there a option to either A, move the gas line, what does that cost? B, harden the gas line, meaning put some sort of casing around it, because remember, again, this is not a full foundation. These are piles that are going to go in the ground that match the piles that the rest of the facility is in, so it all moves the same. So to me, what we have before us is a kill pill to end the project and to not go forward with it, and I'm kind of a little upset about that.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, really.
The use of the so-called expansion, the addition of the north end, has, and I appreciate Councilmember Best's comments, but from an operational point of view, I'd like to point out and kind of underscore the stage is not in the way most of the time. It doesn't need to be stored. Sometimes it is used, it's moved around. But overall, I've not been aware of many, if any, times. If this is the central point, it's kind of a good central point in that what we're trying to determine here is there an existing need to make changes for a specific purpose there? And sometimes it's kind of difficult to parse out, and there's disagreements about that. But I think from my observation anyway, to build an external or an addition on the building to store the stage is, quite frankly, not necessary. Some will disagree with that, of course, but I just don't see, I haven't seen the need for it from an operational point of view.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Carrington.
Can you give a number to the idea of the north side? I mean, some kind of a range or something?
We talked to NSTAR, and they would say moving a gas line would cost us more than building an addition. They didn't give us specific numbers. It's a 6-inch cased steel line, and those things are not moved easily. So that's what they told us. He would.
Madam Mayor? What I haven't heard, it might have been stated before, and I do apologize, Tom, and I again would like to reiterate this, that it's not personal. This has been about facts, and I appreciate you keeping it in that manner. Has NSTAR told us that the gas line would have to be moved, or that it is impossible, or that there is no waivers that can be signed? What is the dictate that is saying that that structure cannot go there absolutely with no ifs, ands, or buts?
Mayor, Council, the NSTAR has said they basically have a standard of there can be a gas line within about up to about 3 feet away from a building. You know, could we build this thing without moving the gas line? Maybe we could, but the addition on the north end, as drawn up a couple years ago, would end up being between 2 and 3 feet away from the gas line. The gas line would actually be within the eave line of the building. So it's very close. Anytime you have these utilities in proximity to new construction, you have additional costs. They have said that it can be within like 3 feet of a pad and a stem wall foundation. And we can, if the direction is to build an addition on the north end, we can explore that option and come back to you with some costs. It just seems to us that that there is a potentially significant utility conflict there, and it's going to cost us a lot of money to address. And,
Your Honor, I have a question of Councilman Best, if I might. I've never been clear as to what the storage facility was for. Can you tell me? So your idea is for this storage to basically only house the stage area, or is it for chairs? Is it for stage chairs? Clean out the meeting room? I've never kind of fully understood the expansion, so maybe you could help me out.
Madam Mayor? Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I appreciate the question. So as it was stated early on in the process, it would be 320 square feet, which would encompass the chairs, the tables, the round tables, the stage area, and the platforms. Everything that is mismatched, placed in storage that is the city's, other than the cleaning supplies and maintenance stuff, would be stored in that storage area. It would be a centralized storage location so that if people needed those items, they could open the door and get them out instead of having to work around. And, I mean, just like as Sandra had stated when she was explaining to the Girl Scouts, you know, that they push it to the side. People do work around the stage. I do not disagree with that. But I have also participated in pushing the stage out of the way and having to manipulate other items and put them in meat and storage, having to duplicate movements. I didn't enjoy it, and I can't believe that anybody else would, but everybody works around it.
I guess I'd like to just clarify as far as what's going on. And I appreciate all the comments from administration and from the Quilters, et cetera. But 20 years ago, there was very few people using the depot, you know. And then the council decided to spend, I believe it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, to bring it up to code and to repair it. You know, 15 years ago, I wanted to rent that space that's called the meeting room, and I couldn't because it was full of stuff, and, you know. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is it is good to hear from our current users, but we also did things in the past to be forward-thinking of how to better utilize and be more efficient. And so I guess I want to remind us that that's kind of what we're after. I mean, the meeting room, it's still half full of stuff. I mean, you can see that from the diagram, and so I guess I'm intrigued to see about options to do that now, whether the north version versus the east version is good or bad, and I'm not real convinced. But I guess I want to remind us that we should be kind of forward-looking to how do we can, you know, better utilize it.
How much would we have to shrink the north addition to bring it in compliance with NSTAR? I mean, would it be sizable, or, I mean, 3 feet, 4 feet?
I would have to check with them to be certain. I would guess if you shrunk it, 4 feet, you'd be made it 4 feet shorter, so that it would be, 16 by 16? That's just off the top of my head.
Well, I think that might be an option to look into. Because I kind of agree with Richard if you build it, they will come. You know, if you make it more accessible for them, people will find a way to use it. So, like right now, they're just dancing around the stage. If the stage were gone, they'd find a way of being able to utilize that space.
Madam Mayor, may I make a comment?
Certainly.
The location of the stage where it is now, on the floor in the center of the building on the north end, again, from my experience and knowledge of the building, is not significantly in the way of people. This gets to the operational differences with, say, adding an addition on the north end. If you have a set of double doors on the north wall and things are in there, then the stage is going to have to be stored in there, or else you can't get into the storage room. Mm-hmm. And so does this mean that every time the facility is used, the stage has to be moved into that storage room in order to clear the access or pull aside? Just from an operational point of view, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I have to be pretty clear about that. Gas line, no gas line, utility pole, no utility pole. I just don't see the rationale for having double doors in the north wall, which is where the stage is now. Every time you want to use it, you'd have to move the stage. Or not have the stage there, have the stage in storage all the time, just use the tables and chairs. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Comments. Councilor Johnson.
And, I agree. And almost every activity that I've been to has utilized the stage that has been at the depot. So it is a significant operational ploy to move that. So we better invest in some rollers for that stage as well.
Well, we have a motion made and seconded. We've had a staff report. We have not had a choice of the concepts. I guess I'm wondering where I need to go with this. What's the will of the council?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Healy?
May I offer a suggestion here or an option anyway? Where although we want to get some direction on this aspect of this project so that we can design it and build it, if that's what the choice is, if there are still significant questions, and I've heard some of them here tonight about cost of moving a gas line, these sorts of things. If the council needs a little more time and more information on this specific question, then we can proceed with the design work for the other elements for the state grant-funded part of this project for the depot. I don't want to put the decision off too long on the storage option, though, because then it would become then a totally separate project. We'd have to bid out separately and everything else. But if there is a need for more information or more time to review, then that's an option, is to direct any questions or information you might need to us. We can come back at the next meeting.
Councilmember Vest?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess I know this has been your project, and I don't want to, I know you've, made, I don't want to say how you feel. I think he's kind of stated it. I just want to give you an opportunity to weigh in on this and what's your feelings on having this go forward, having some design work done for the rest of the storage upgrades that we have the state grant, or not storage upgrades, but for the other upgrades for the building. We can go forward with those. I'm asking for discussion here, I guess.
No, I appreciate it. And, again, we're going to be parsing it out where, I mean, this puts us where we were 2 years ago. On one hand, I want to say I'd like to have the numbers that have been asked for in several different instances to go forward with the initial design, give us some hard numbers, and if we could get that in a timely manner, I think we can still go forward with things. But on the other hand, I do not want to participate in holding up other parts of other projects for the city for anything. So on one hand, based on principle, I would say no. But I'm not going to stand in the way of getting other actual work done for the city.
Anyone else on the council wants to weigh in on that? Or I guess we would postpone to a future agenda. Well, anyway, I'll entertain a motion if anyone would like to make a motion, we either need a primary amendment to pick one of these concepts, or we can ask for a motion to postpone, or we can vote on, you know, some particular piece of this. What is the will of council, Councilmember Hansen? Yes, Councilmember Hansen.
Can I talk about this number one here, this study one? Can I ask you a couple questions? Now, of staff. When we tried to, let's see, it must have been put a bike path behind the depot, we had to go to the Historical Preservation Committee, and they denied us the ability to put the bike path back there. The tracks were too historical in their mind. Is the same maybe the true with the they're putting the addition for study one, your study one on there, or do you see a potential with the National Historic Preservation Council or committee, whatever it is?
Any significant changes to the exterior of the building will have to be reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Office. It is the depot is on the National Register of Historic Places, and this. This is a whole other issue in any exterior additions or changes to the building, whether it's on the north side or the east side or wherever it is. That's going to have to be reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Office. And I can't say how they rule on it.
Really.
The rail issue, as I recall, was one of the reasons the urban revitalization project was delayed, because they had the railroad went all the way back to Washington, D.C. to the National Railroad Board, I think, to fight this determination by the Historic Preservation Office of the historic nature of those tracks. I think that was the issue.
Those tracks, but always go
behind. Yeah, it's called a house track or a turning track or...
So those that side was the original track.
Yes,
actually.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the railroad did not want to be subject to a lot of its rail being designated as historic and then not being able to change it. So that was a big fight. I don't know. I wasn't here when that was finally resolved and the trail was built as it was. There is still no trail back by those tracks. Mm-hmm. So
that would be a fight we have to have under either circumstance as well.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And your study one, your addition is what, like 12 by 20? Is that what the proposal is?
Uh-huh. I don't think it's quite 12. I think the eave there is 10 feet. I don't have the exact dimensions here, but
comment on or question on the size of the addition. Just
I was making sure I didn't lose connection.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're still here. Okay. Did you get your? Are you finished with your question? Okay. Councilmember Best, did you just no more questions? Okay.
Well, Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Best.
So, not to answer Brad's question, but to kind of augment initial design with a north storage, it was utilizing, like Councilman Irby stated, an existing double door opening that had been there before. It has been reviewed by Ms. Fran, and she didn't see any problems with it passing through SHPO. Of course, she was not speaking for SHPO, but she felt that it did not compromise the structure at all, and would not be adjusting any additional walls. It would just be much like when we added the bathroom on the other side of the on the south side. It maintained the same look.
And unfortunately, Fran isn't there anymore. And I know that there's a good. I would imagine there's some chance that would work. I mean, it's better probably than the shed, the side. But I know I've had things go through SHPO, and Fran said they were going to work, and then they didn't. So sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't, until you have the paper in hand. But I'm not trying to stop this. You guys have already been through this enough times that I'm just waiting to see what everyone else wants to have happen.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
So tonight, if we postpone, that basically doesn't stop the other projects, but it doesn't answer any questions. But at that point, we could actually direct staff to bring back more information, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if I would propose that we postpone until maybe a month, if we could get answers on whether or not the initial design with the north storage area can be accomplished with that gas line. With pile, I understand they would have to hand dig around it before they place the piles. That's something that I anticipated. But can it be constructed? Is there additional costs? What are those costs? I'd like to see a true feasibility of can it be done? And an alternative, much like Councilmember Irby suggested, if NSTAR says it must be, 3 feet from the structure, even knowing that it is a cold storage and not going to be inhabited, Do they still require it to be 3 feet off? Okay, so at that point, with the cost of the structure being at 3 feet shorter, or whatever that number is.
And I'll second that, and I toss in maybe we could have staff do some polling of users of the depot to see how many would use the stage if it were optional.
We want to add that added to the motion request to have staff. How would you like to have that information presented?
Madam Mayor, I'm not a fan of that because when you look at the depot when it's most utilized during the holiday seasons, you're talking bazaars. They don't have use for that stage. It gets shoved over in the corner and covered up. Those are the people that are going to be impacted, whether the stage is there or not. When you have presentations, well, those are the folks that might utilize it. I've been at presentations where it sat in the back and people still worked around it. So I don't think you're going to get a full cross-section of when it's truly utilized.
Okay.
So, we can withdraw that.
What's that? Withdrawn. Okay.
But I'll still second.
All right, so we have a motion made and seconded to postpone.
The makers of the motion said 1 month. Would the acceptable date be June 23rd? Because that is the 1 month from now council meeting.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion. We have any other comments? Any other questions? Let's vote, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes. All right, our meeting is back to order, and we are now on action memorandum item number one. That was moved down to replace number five. So is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-036, authorize city manager to purchase equipment from L&N Curtis & Sons, Inc., sole source, for a new aerial or platform firefighting equipment for an amount not to exceed $63,994.50 using the State of Alaska Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development grant.
So moved.
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion or wish to receive a staff report? I have a question. Is that a new aerial or platform? Is that because aerial and platform are the same things? The same thing? Yeah, okay. I just wondered. I didn't want to give you guys options. All right. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next up, action memorandum 15-037, authorized city manager to purchase portable radios and equipment for the Palmer Fire and Rescue in the amount for the amount of $21,301.75 using the State of Alaska Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development grant using Western States Contracting Alliance contract pricing.
So moved.
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion or with request to receive a staff report, Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. We've been after people to put notes on the remarks by their signatures, and I see there's some remarks there tonight, and so I would like to have either from the attorney or the city manager some discussion on the remarks. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Manager.
Mayor and council members, what this refers to is that the state of Alaska, along with just about every other state in the union, through the International Purchasing Officers Alliance, what they do is they enter into agreements where they will bid a project, and these are pretty much all nationwide bids for projects, and there happens to be one now on fire trucks, which is too bad before we got this one. But what happens is a state takes a lead. They then they award the bid, and then individual states then decide. And in our case, it's that's where it's shown with community economic development decides which ones the state signs on for, and that it's a legitimate bid. And then as a entity of the state, we're able to take advantage. It has competitive bidding. It's a nationally recognized program. The state uses it. If you go to the website, there's probably 40 other contracts that we have. And so this is taking advantage of bidding the best contract nationally.
Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, thank you. And when I put the note on here, I was scratching my head over the relationship with Western States Contracting, and typically with these contracting entities, there's a joint purchase agreement. And in speaking with the Chief McNutt, I'm not sure that the city has any agreement with Western States, but the vendor, this is really a sole source procurement, because the vendor is the only vendor, and the chief can speak more directly to the detail of this, but this vendor provides the radios that public safety uses. So they just offer the Western States pricing through the vendor, but as I understand it, this is really a sole source purchase, and it's under our code that authorizes those sort of proprietary purchases. So that's my understanding. I mean, I haven't dug too deeply into this, so I don't know that we have a contract or not, but neither the chief of police nor the fire chief knew that whether we did.
Mayor, just so for later, what it's worth, this is authorized under Alaska State. Under the statute, there is not a contract from any of the cities with this group. They're purchasing officers. So they make this, and then the state of Alaska accepts Western State. They choose on each one whether to go with state contracting or not. So that's how we're able to tie in. We can choose to do it or not.
Thank you. So I guess we have some remarks. The remarks are to go forward with this, Mr. Getty.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, okay. I think it's okay. You just want to make sure. All right.
I just wanted to know what the details were. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's what that line is used for. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen? Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-043, which is to authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute a professional services agreement in the amount of $23,260 with Hattenberg, Gillian, Linnell Engineers for primary engineering service for the City of Palmer utility relocations related to the Glen Highway reconstruction project?
So
So move, Your Honor.
Second.
All right. Is there a discussion or request for staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Final item is City Manager's report on the execution of Amendment Number 1 to the Real Estate Exchange Agreement and Escrow Instruction between City of Palmer and Granite Construction Company. Am I not on the wrong spot? No. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Let's see. Oh, okay. Excuse me, I missed a part there. Is there a motion to authorize Action Memorandum 15-044 to authorize City Manager to negotiate and execute a professional services agreement in the amount of $27,045 with Hattenberg Dilley and Linnell Engineers for Design and Construction Administration and Southwest Utility Extension Sewer Force Main Repair.
So moved.
Made and seconded. Is there a discussion or does anyone wish to receive a staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, we've taken care of item number 5, and that brings us to unfinished business. City Manager's report on the execution of Amendment Number 1 to the Real Estate Exchange Agreement and escrow instruction between the City of Palmer and Granite Construction Company. Mr. Manager.
Mayor and Council covered a little bit this in the manager's report, but Granite has agreed with our amendment of the performance bond. They recognize in emails back and forth and on the phone recognize their responsibility to put in the work. Their attorneys are working with, they're asking the question. We put in a timeline requirement that they would submit permits in order to get the construction actually put in. Their attorney is now working with DOT, and they agreed to have the attorney from their side work directly with our city attorney on the final amendment.
A quick one, if I may, a question to the manager. Did they advise who their lawyers were, Mr. Manager?
Mayor and Council, the Derek Betts is their manager there, and he did this, no worries, this is the last time, probably, I think in Europe, but he said when he gets back, when he's sent the email, and I sent that to the city attorney acknowledging that, and I think on Thursday I'll get the name, and I'll just pass it directly to the city attorney to work with him.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
All right, anyone have any other comments? So, Mr. Attorney, you're good to go. Madam Clerk, items placed on the table?
The Valley Quilters Guild information and VCRS flyer.
Now is the time for the final audience participation. Anyone that would like to come forward to address council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing no one come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to council member comments, starting with council. We'll start with council member Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to get council support to bring forward discussion at the council table about potentially putting U.S. flags and Alaska state flags on all open to the public buildings of the city of Palmer. I think that's a good indication that those are public buildings, and I think it would be appropriate for us to you know, not large flag poles in front of each structure, but I'm talking the wall-mounted outside building kind of flags. So I'd like to need council support to bring that discussion back.
I'll support bringing the discussion back.
Is he talking about the, like the flag that you'd attach to like the eve of the building or something?
I guess that's a big part of the discussion.
I couldn't hear what buildings he was talking about, but okay, thank you.
I think it was all public buildings that the City of Palmer has, right? Buildings that City of Palmer uses?
It would be all open to the public buildings. So like a storage facility that the city utilizes for maintenance or something wouldn't have it on there. But any building that we invite the public to come in and get permits to, or City Hall, or that kind of stuff. And I've got another one.
Okay, well, I would like to add to that. I'd like to know where this flag, there's already our flag, so I kind of like a status report on that, as well as who puts them up and takes them down and so on. Kind of, I'm sure it's Public Works, but I mean, I think it's Public Works. Also, I know our city flagpole, I've asked before, but our city flagpole needs to be painted, the one that's right outside of City Hall. So maybe that's why I really want to have this discussion, is maybe I can bring up getting the flagpole painted again. And Councilor Vest, you had something else?
It would also, I guess it could all dovetail together in just a flag discussion, because I'm interested. I hear rumors that there's a flagpole that is not being utilized, and that I'd like to maybe have a discussion of having the flagpole located somewhere near the depot itself.
Yes, that would be great to have that discussion. I'm looking forward to having that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. Anything else, Councilmember Best?
Thank you.
All right. Councilmember Carrington, we'll just start on your side.
No comment.
Sorry.
No, I actually do have some comments tonight.
Oh.
I've heard from members of the community. I know that it's probably railroad property, but the blueberry crossing on the railroad tracks is in the asphalt on that road is in terrible shape. And then the other comment was downtown where the pavilion is, we've got a nice little pathway that goes across the railroad tracks. And then it just ends. And I've heard it suggested that we might put a pedestrian crossing right there. Even though it's in the center of the block, this is Palmer is supposed to be a walking community, or at least we would like it to be. So I'd like to possibly get some support into looking into that possibility.
Are you talking about the one with the blue arch?
Yeah.
I mean, I like that idea, but it does go straight into the Palmer Bar.
I think Councilmember. Okay. Got it.
And that's all I have.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Ruby. Councilmember Hansen.
No comments? Last week I was attended two Chamber of Commerce meetings. One of them was at 7:45 at the new facility called the Annex down on Alaska Street, and it was very enjoyable. I was able to take a little City of Palmer mug and moose and t-shirt and jelly beans from the City of Palmer to be part of the 50-50 raffle, and they were very appreciative of that. It was a great meeting because there were a handful of folks that aren't able to come normally to the meetings on Wednesdays at lunch, and so, which was the whole purpose of having that. and I was able to sell the rest of my own personal stash of Sister City raffle tickets there, so it was a win-win for me. But one of the things I'd like to bring to the attention of the council is this coming Saturday on the 30th at noon, there's going to be a grand opening of a new business on Alaska Street called Car Deets.
It's where the old car wash was. And it's a car detailing operation that has already got quite a reputation. They've been in Wasilla. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me since the young man that's running it announced it at Chamber that they've either utilized it in Wasilla and loved it, or they just couldn't wait to be able to do it because it'd be in Palmer and not have to go to Wasilla for it. So I would encourage you to check that out. Also did go to the borough legislative thank you reception last week. Police Chief Ketterling and I were there and got a chance to visit with folks from around the borough, and that was a good time. Of all the things, though, in the last couple of weeks, yesterday is on Memorial Day. It's always a very special time for me, and I did see the mayor there yesterday. She spoke very well. Saw our governor there. But I meet my father there. It's just a tradition that we have. And so it was just a great, great thing. It's been 15-plus years, and I'm always grateful that there's another year that I can meet him and share part of Memorial Day at the wall with my dad. And so I was very grateful for that. Palmer looked great when I came back into town because we do have flags up and down Main Street, and it never looks better than on those days. So, thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Combs. I have no comments, and so we will take a break and prepare for our executive session.